This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of JaysAnalysis.com. You know, last week we had a really in-depth talk about Bertrand Russell's book, The Scientific Outlook. And I mentioned a couple times in that talk another pretty wild text that he wrote a few decades later called The Impact of Science on Society. And since we haven't lectured through that entire book, I thought we would just go ahead and point out that his views didn't change over the next 20 years. And in fact, he took an even more radical stance, if you can believe it. I mean, I know we on the last through that it was pretty wild. It was pretty crazy. But where did he end up years later after World War II? What did he think would be the, quote, impact of science on society be? What would it be? Well, remember that we saw last week that Russell is a proponent of scientism. Scientism is a faith-based worldview where we have no real proof of the external world, the scientific method, of all these philosophy principles that underlie science. But we're going to ignore all that and just do science for the sake of science in the sense of will to power. Now, this is odd because Russell presented himself as an advocate of liberalism, as an advocate of democracy. But if you don't know, the Royal Society had, as we said last week, a front, a kind of cover group that was the Fabian Socialists, who presented a liberal democratic face to the people. Meanwhile, in the background, they were also part of the other side of the circle, the Society of the Elect, the inner party, that did not believe in anything remotely close to liberal values, democracy, or any of these catchphrases and slogans that they used. Russell is a proponent, as we said, of a radical depopulation agenda, and this book is very important because he explains how that will come about, potentially. So the book begins by discussing the notion that what happened in the Enlightenment and in the Darwinian Revolution is that the world was divested of meaning and purpose. There's nothing inherently in the world that has purpose. Purpose is something that humans construct as a kind of social construct. As a made-up, subjective thing. It's not something that's discovered. Things don't have purpose. They just do what they do. Right? So an acorn becoming a tree is just what it is. There's not a purpose that the acorn has within it. So the rejection of all ancient and medieval and metaphysical ideas is something that Bertrand Russell says was crucial to the modern world. And clearly that would also mean the rejection of the notion of any kind of God. So what's the new religion? Who are the patron saints of the new religion? Well, it's the so-called scientists. What's interesting, though, because he comes up with a sort of a hall of scientists series of saints, as we said last time. People like Galileo, Kepler, Darwin, right? Which is weird because many of those people had theistic views as well. So they don't exactly fit this narrative of atheistic materialism that Russell believes in. But we'll set that aside because he says that really science is grounded in the observation of the world and coming to conclusions on the basis of those observations, and it doesn't have any values. So wait a minute. So science doesn't contain any notion of values, any notion of right and wrong. It just describes what is the case, and it's you figuring out how things work. But if science doesn't have any values and can't give us values, how are we going to have values in this world? Well, according to Russell, it's going to be the scientific elite that will also tell you the values. And so we come to ideas that come out of the same British Royal Society elites like Bentham of utilitarianism. Utilitarianism usually goes along with these kinds of atheistic materialist philosophies because the idea is, well, I guess the best we could come up with is just maximize everyone's pleasures. There's no real reason, there's no way that we know exactly what that means. How do we quantify pleasure? What are the pleasure points, right? Do you get 50 pleasure points and I get 20 pleasure points? And there were actually utilitarians who thought they could come up with a moral calculus. And so eventually it became evident, and by the way, Bentham is the same guy who was a PEDO, and he came up with the idea of the panopticon. So the centralized surveillance system inside of a prison, which would be the model for total information awareness nowadays. And that's all going, it's all concomitant. All these things go together in terms of this ideology. So if we can't be managed and engineered in terms of self-surveillance, which is the purpose of the Panopticon, how are we going to be managed? Well, ultimately,
in December of 2021, InfoWars offered the first in a three-part series, the 1776 Anti-Tyrant Coin, and it sold out in 10 days. And if it wasn't for listeners getting this original, powerful coin, a founding member coin, we would not be on air today. Now, the second coin, the Liberty Tree coin, is being offered, and it will probably sell out in 10 days again. It certainly needs to fund our operation. It is so historic, and it has a quote from Thomas Jefferson about the Tree of Liberty being refreshed with the blood of patriots and tyrants and more. See the coin for yourself at 1776coin.com. It's also at InfoWarsStore.com. It's amazing. There's only 10,000 of them, and as a founding member, if we're able to stay on the air, we're planning something very, very special for everyone that helps us go to the next level. So get your new Tree of Liberty coin while you still can at 1776coin.com.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. We were covering Bertrand Russell's book, The Impact of Science on Society, and his explanation of what the scientism worldview and religion is. And he immediately moves the beginning, as we were saying, to this notion of how do we get values? What are we going to do for the future? He says, well, first and foremost, you need to understand Malthus. He says, Thomas Malthus is the guy who essentially gives us the quantification approach to the world, and taking his economic theories and applying them to resource wars and population. What does that mean? Well, if there's limited resources, then we're all going to be fighting over the resources, right? That's the way this theory goes. And so if there's too many people, then we got to cut down on the people, right? You've heard Satguru, this guru going around on all the TV shows and talk shows and podcasts. And he says, there are too many people. To reduce the carbon footprints, we must reduce the feats. Get rid of the feats, the people. So even the mainline gurus nowadays promote this exact same Malthusian worldview, which, again, was originally kind of an economic theory, but evolves into a theory connected to social Darwinism, of whom Bertrand Russell is one of the most famous proponents. It's funny, too, because Russell says early on in the first chapter that really we don't believe in egalitarianism. Darwinism disproves egalitarianism. And remember that he has a fiercely racial view as a rabid eugenicist. So Russell, again, is not any kind of egalitarian. He even admits that in the first chapter, but he plays the part of a liberal humanitarian democracy proponent. And I can't, for the life of me, figure out why people don't understand this or can't figure it out. You know, it's the people in his circle, the same, the Duke of Kent. Remember him going on all the TV interviews? And he says, I want to come back as a virus and kill everybody in the interviews. And the woman interviewing him is like, what do you mean? What do you mean come back as a virus and kill everybody? And he says, well, can't you guess? Can't you guess what I mean? I mean kill everybody. Come back as a virus and kill everybody. What exactly do you mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? He says what it means. All of these people say what they mean. Every one of them writes books saying what they mean. What dupes everybody right away is the liberal cover.
Oh, he was part of the democratic society. He believed in democracy. He believed in liberalism.
That's not a thing. It's not a real thing. Have you not figured this out? That's a cloak. And the same people who run the world now use the same cloak. Somebody was just showing me a photo. It was so bizarre, I don't even know how to interpret it. The elites at Davos go through a ritual sort of hazing process where they pretend to be refugees, and they crawl on the ground, and they have soldiers barking at them so that they get the experience of a refugee. I mean, it's probably just a photo op, right, to make it look like they care about the refugees, they care about the people. Meanwhile, they say, well, let's kill everybody. How can we more effectively kill everybody? No, they care about the people. So Bertrand Russell begins his book with liberal order. We're liberal democratic denizens of scientism, with scientism. But then he says in the very first chapter that if Darwinism is true, then there's no egalitarianism. Some people are more evolved than other people. I mean, what's the title of Charles Darwin's book, right? The Origin of Species, The Favored Races of Man. Okay, so the very title of the book presupposes the idea that some people are not evolved and others are. He goes on in the next chapter and says, well, how are we going to erect a fair, loving global government? Because he says that the scientific process and scientific technique are going to have the potentiality to erect a technocratic order that will become a nightmare dystopia. So he says it's scary what they can do. They're going to do all these crazy things, and he's going to list them. And who do you think he picks as the guy that is the bad version of this? Hitler. Of course, right? Hitler. So Hitler's the bad guy, which he is, but he says it's not the modus operandi of what Hitler had going. He just did it all wrong. He just should have put on a pink sweater. He should have put on rainbows, right? He should have done obeisance to liberal cover, and there would have been no problems with his views, right? Aside from choosing the Teutonic Germanic idea as somehow like the ultimate, most evolved form of the race or the species, right? Well, the only difference is that Russell says, no, it's actually the Anglo-Saxon English citizen, the Lord and Ladies of London. They're the most evolved. It's literally the exact same philosophy, just a different group. But he says, what we're going to do is tweak this where we don't pick one race. Who cares about races? We're just going to pick amongst the different people groups the most elite, the most wicked, the highest IQ, the most scientifically advanced amongst all the people groups, and we don't really care about the so-called races, and we'll make them kind of the future class that goes into the future, and everybody else will have to come to us, the scientific elite, and you'll have to prove why we should let you live. George Bernard Shaw says the exact same thing, part of the same Fabian Socialist Society. So he says, what we're going to have to do is stoke fears. How can we scare everybody into accepting our plan for global government and a liberal technocracy, a liberal world order? He says, first thing we gotta do is come up with threats to the entire planet, planetary global threats. What did Noah, Yuval, Harari, Novocaine, Euthyphro, Ferrari, what did he just say the other day? It's a global threat, climate. We're going to have to kill everyone. You don't have free will. He's saying literally what Bertrand Russell said 100 years ago. There's no free will, but by the way, we have to stamp out free will. Well, how do you stamp something out that doesn't exist? And by the way, in other interviews, just like Bertrand Russell, Harari contradicts himself as well. He says, in the future, there would be choices that are made at the top by the scientific elite, and then it will filter down, and then you will be ruled by the AI. There will still be a human equation here at the very top. They will make choices for you, and then you will be governed by the AI. And then he says, there is no free will. No one will make choices. You don't have that. That's gone. That's old. This is gaslighting, right? This is just lying in your face, outright contradicting. I mean, in one video, he says, there is free will among the elite who will make the decisions for you. And then there is no free will. No one has free will. That's an illusion. Okay, so again, basic fundamental contradiction at a very obvious prima facie level. Russell says that first thing we got to do, and this is Ray's writing in the 50s, is he says, we got to figure out ways to destroy Russia. Russia? Yes, he says, because the Russian nation, he says, has the ability to, if they grew in population, and if they were able to maximize their resources, because it's such a resource-dense country, and so vast, they could potentially be a challenger or dominate the Anglo-UK degenerate empire, perfidious Albion. So he says, we have to stop them at all costs. And he says, that's why I really like the way Bolshevism and Stalinism have had such a disastrous effect on the Russian people. Now, he eventually doesn't like what Stalin does during the Cold War. And, you know, when Stalin rejects the Marshall Plan, hey, this kicks off the Cold War. So I'm not trying to say it's oversimplified this as if Bertrand Russell was always a proponent or a fan of Stalin and his actions. But originally, as we saw in last week's book, Scientific Outlook, at that time, writing in the 20s or 30s, he liked it. He's like, oh, I actually like the Bolsheviks. I like what they're doing because they're destroying and putting Russia under a scientific government. It's a scientific experiment. And he says, really, all this means is just get the population in. That's it. That's the only thing that we're concerned with. Do whatever is possible to get Russia's population down. And he says in this book, why? Because we don't want a competitor to the enlightened, evolved Anglo-Saxon man. Now, I'm not trying to make this a racial thing. Ultimately, it's not. It's a spiritual problem. It's a problem of evil. But that's the attitude that Bertrand Russell has as a rabid eugenicist at this time. And remember, although he in practice disagrees with Hitler's philosophy, he just has another version of a Hitlerian philosophy, which says, kill everybody. And I'm going to show you in the book where he says this, the end of the book, in a kind of shocking way, actually, what he says. This is the exact same thing the Duke of Kent says, right? He says it in a more pressing, fundamental way. Not talking about being reincarnated as a tiny British virus, but as a black death, we'll see. This is the Alex Jones Show. Don't go anywhere. I'm Jay Dyer.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
According to the World Gold Council, while demand for gold is surging, 72% of people reply they lack the necessary know-how to do so. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta, owner of Advantage Gold, hands down the highest rated gold dealer in the country. The reason? We lead with education. We've taught millions of investors how to buy gold safely and securely, and our in-depth gold guide explains everything you need to know. From what type of metals to consider, if an IRA or cash transaction is best, and how you can be certain that the gold you're buying is authentic, certified, and real. Call 800-900-8000 now and get our number one rated first-time gold buyer's kit. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the information you need to secure your future. Call 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000 today.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
This is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms. forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
I'm your guest, Dyer Days Analysis. We're talking about Bertrand Russell's explanation of how the technocratic government will be put in a sneaky, little stealthy way so that you won't fall for it. You will think it's liberal. So he's really one of the pioneers of this idea that you hear Alex always joking about, right, of putting on a pink sweater and knitting around. And that will actually convince people that, oh, it's not frightening. It's not scary because it's not stormtroopers coming at me with jackboots. It's tech guys bouncing around and giggling in pink sweaters and hoodies, right? And trendy socks. That's, you know, Alex is always making this joke. Well, that's accurate. Bertrand Russell, the first guys to really come up with this idea, it seems to me, is say, well, all you have to do is dress your death order up in a bunch of liberal garb and people, and now the whole world is basically duped by a liberal face, liberal front to a death cult. So it's like there's an inner death cult core, and there's like a pink outer portico of soft, sensitive softies, right? So you can be in the profane pink outer core, or you can be in the inner death core of just pure Satanism. Now, the global government, he says, that could be erected. Now, get this. This is a little tricky bait and switch he does. He says, there could be a terrible world government that is erected. That's a scientific dictatorship. That's his, the way he describes it. And he says, what they'll probably do is attack the food supply through genetic modification, through tainting everything with toxins, making everything basically poisonous, deadly. He says they will use inoculations, vaccines. By the way, he's saying this before in his book said, let's use vaccines to experiment on people on a wide scale. He says that, and we'll do this, he says. He's saying, I don't advocate this, but they might do this. But by the way, later on, I will advocate this. This is what he does, right? Keep in mind that he's playing right now like he doesn't believe in this. But he says, this scientific dictatorship will do all this in a backdoor stealthy way. But what they'll do is convince everybody that it's good, liberal, and healthy by using pop culture. So Bertrand Russell was one of the early pioneers of pop culture. Again, makes sense because he's in the same circles with H.G. Wells and the Fabian Social Society, who pioneered using popular culture to promote his scientism, global order, depopulation agenda. All of the science fiction is just a version that will reach the masses of his more boring technical stuff about world government that nobody reads. But everybody's going to read War of the Worlds. Everybody's going to read Island of Dr. Moreau, Time Machine, all these books that promote his version of scientism. Russell says, do not use logic on the masses. They will not be convinced by your reasoning and your logic and your objective argumentation and facts. He says, use music, pomp, smoke and mirrors. He says, that will get everybody convinced. Look at all the pop stars. This is the whole pop culture is getting you to accept the culture of death. That's it. And even says that they will become so sophisticated at this technique of using the pop culture to brainwash that you will be able to convince people in this technocracy that snow is black. They'll be so brainwashed that if I tell you to say that the snow is black, you won't just say it is because you think I want you to say that. You will actually believe it. And that is what Orwell is writing about in 1984, is what's in these texts of Russell. Orwell was describing what the people that he was around wanted to do. Who do you think he's talking about? He's talking about this. Okay? Now, Russell goes on to say, well, look, globalism is inevitable. And what I just told you sounds like a nightmare.
Right.
It says that the nation state is an old defunct idea, and that's dead and gone because now we live in the world of power blocks. And the world wars enabled us to transition into power blocks. And so now we have a basis to get rid of international law. He says that the nuke crisis and the nuclear war, nuclear proliferation and all of this stuff, really that's just the means by which there would be an international policing governing unit coming out of the United Nations, coming out of the Baruch plan. And that was kind of what helped us move away from the notion of international law into a power block world where there is no such thing as international law anymore. And then he goes on to say that there will be a fake left. So the very chapter after that, chapter 3, he describes the technocracy, he calls it a scientific oligarchy. He says they'll have a left cover. I wonder how he knew that. Well, maybe because he is the left cover for this. And I'm going to show you how that's the case. He says that when this really comes into fruition, when they really set up this 1984 scenario, he says it's going to be the worst thing you can imagine. He says, because they're going to be spying and surveillance of everyone at all times. There will be child spies, right? Child spies. Your children will be incentivized to rat on you, parents, authorities, etc. And so it will be intentionally inverted. He says there will be such things as geoengineering, cloud seeding. They will use, as we said, vaccines, diet. They might even promote the most heinous things like cannibalism for the masses. He says, because anything that works to sterilize, stunt, deform, and basically stultify and make you unable to have offspring to go into the future, he says that's the goal. And then he says the model for this is Plato's Republic. Okay, he says it on page 51 right there. Plato's Republic. Plato's Republic. See that right there? He says it. Plato's Republic. So if Plato's Republic is the model, maybe we should be aware of what Plato talked about. Maybe we should be aware of the fact that Plato said that we need to practice infanticide. We need to kill large portions of the population so that they don't get out of balance with Mother Earth. That was Plato's view. He says that in this global government, there won't, in the technocracy, that's his word, there will not be race. There will not be anything like that. He says that it will all be top-down control by a scientific elite. And he says it will all be under the cover of democracy. Now, he says, and he uses these kind of platitudes, well, it's not really fair, and it's not really what we would like to do, and maybe this isn't the best idea. And he says, I don't like all of that sound. That stuff sounds bad. So he says, here's the better way to do it. So now he's just going to take all that horrible stuff and he's going to say, let's do it in a nice way. I'm not kidding. That's what he says in the book. He says there's better, nicer ways to do it, easier ways to do it. And so he says that we're going to have to lie to everybody. There's going to have to be a large scale deception to get this across. But he says, really, keep in mind that the public never knows what's going on anyway. They're always duped anyway. The public is stupid. So just keep lying to them and telling them that this is the best for them and keep selling it as freedom. And he says, look at the models of V.I. Lenin. He says Lenin was a model of this. Democratic socialism, he says. Sell the people on collectivism and democratic socialism for their own good. It's all a lie, but who cares? They deserve it because they're stupid anyway and they need to die. So he's telling you, people that believe this, that you're dumb if you believe this. And then he's the same guy that brings the Frankfurt School Marxists over to the West to help destroy Western civilization by his own design, to bring in the technocracy. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back as we look at Bertrand Russell's.
We are only offering 3 coins in the series. The first coin was released in December of 2021 and sold out in 10 days. Now, the second coin, as we enter the last days of March into April 2022, is now being offered. And I believe it will sell out in just a few days again because these are historic coins and because our amazing listeners want to support freedom and keep InfoWars at the front lines of the fight against these tyrants. So go for yourself to 1776coin.com and see the new Liberty Tree coin. It is powerful. witness this powerful iconography for yourself and have this piece of history and be part of the founding member system that we're set to launch in the very near future, thanks to your support of this project. Get a historic memento that helps keep InfoWars on the air and also gives you a real piece of history at 1776coin.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. We were talking about the technocratic world government that Bertrand Russell predicted to come in and the liberal cover that he puts on it. And then later on in the book, he's going to tell us what he really wants. What does he really want? Well, as we're moving through, we saw the Republic of Plato as the model. He says that the New World Order really is about death. He says that the world order that's coming will utilize the power and principle of death to steer the species to its proper end goal, in his mind, in the sense of steering and commandeering evolution. Since death is part of the natural process, he argues, then death should just be accepted, and the scientific elite need to utilize death. He says that really what this leads to is the necessity for an international global authority that trumps every local nation, state, and law. Now, wait a minute. I thought he said a few minutes ago that he doesn't want to see a tyrannical world government. Oh, well, this is the nice world government. See, this is the nice one. Oh, okay. So, yeah, this is the liberal one, not the tyrannical one. And the nice one is going to give you the vaccines, give you the GMO foods, give you the sterilization, give you the toxic culture in a friendly coon pod way. So you're going to enjoy it, you see. It won't be a hard, they're not going to put you in a camp and murder you. They're going to murder you in a slow kill way. That was the whole ethos of the Fabian socialist slow kill model, you see. So he was part of that group, again, with H.G. Wells, of George Bernard Shaw, the socialist, who had as their model both a wolf in sheep's clothing as their symbol and a turtle, because it's a slow version of this. Right? It doesn't work very good to stomp down the streets, you know, in stormtrooper outfits. That scares people. Just dress it all up in propaganda and liberalism and health and consumerism, basically. Death, he says, is actually the real deity. I'm not joking. He says that. If you really want to understand who God is or what God is, people call God is really just a symbol of their fear of death. And he says on page 78 that really death is the real God. And if he says, if you want to understand our worldview, we have accepted death, not just as a reality, but as the real motivating power in the universe, in evolution to propel the species. So it's a death cult. Like he's, yeah, we worship a death cult. Do you remember in Planet of the Apes, a really silly series, Cheeseball? But in, I think, the second installment, there's a cult in the post-apocalyptic monkey world that worships the bomb almighty. They have a religious service where they worship this bomb. And although that's a goofy B movie, that actually is a great image of the attitude of Bertrand Russell. They have like a liturgical service and like a choir. And there's like a cult of really pale, mutated people who worship the Balm Almighty as the symbol of mass death. Yeah, there you go. That's it. It's a whole church service they have. So that's you want. Where's you want to go to church with Bertrand Russell? There you go. That's his church. So don't go there. Right? I'm not joining that church. He says that the reason we believe this is just scientific pragmatism. We don't care about truth. We don't care about it. It's all about will to power and force. Now, wait a minute. That doesn't sound very liberal. I thought you were a liberal fan of freedom and democracy. Now you're telling me that might makes right, that social Darwinism leads to a Nietzschean will to power. That sounds like Hitler again. I thought you were against Hitler. No. I'm not against Hitler in terms of his philosophy, Russell's saying. I'm against the approach he took. He did it in all the wrong way. He should have just done a music video, right? If he had done an MTV video and dressed it all up in Skittles and candy, right, then it would have been fine. And he would have gotten a lot more done. And in a sense, I guess you could say Russell is right about appealing to the weaknesses in human nature, that from a pragmatic standpoint, if the people seeking global government had utilized the latest research in terms of Bernays, right, Walter Lippmann, madmen type stuff, they could have been able to sell it a lot better. And guess what? Oh, that's now. You see, that's where we live. We live now in the world where all of those techniques of advertising, psychological warfare, lying, gaslighting, selling it as a right. This was crucial. This is what Russell, decades before Tim Leary, right? Tim Leary said that I couldn't get people to do acid on a mass scale until I told them that it was their right and that they were being denied their rights to do LSD on a mass scale. He said, once I promoted it and sold it as your right that's being taken from you and trampled, he said, I learned a powerful message in terms of human social engineering. And guess who was way before him in terms of that? Decades ahead, Bertrand Russell. By the way, did you know Bertrand Russell actually had free love views way before anybody else? The 60s counterculture ethos of free love, all of that, Russell had that view decades earlier in the 20s and 30s. He believed that back then. He's actually open about it. And a lot of his exes and mistresses and various people, fussed about, made a big deal about it. And Russell saw the effects of that. And he said, why don't we just apply these techniques in mass? You see, that's the weaponization of human biology and sexuality. And so you hear Alex all the time. He talks about siege, right? These are the people that know how to conduct siege, not just in classical warfare, but in terms of mental warfare, info war, psycho warfare, you say, psy war. And they had learned this and figured this out a long time ago. So when it comes to big things like CUFID and getting everybody to take stabbies, what do we see the Canadian government admit? Oh, yeah, we use psychological warfare techniques that NATO developed to deceive the public, to scare the crap out of them, to get them to do this. That it was all admitted. What do we see come out, what, yesterday? Oh, yeah, a lot of the news stories about the Ukraine are lies and they're fake intelligence, but it's for the good of everybody else. We have to do that, you say. So Russell goes on to say, it's true that socialism has succeeded in its fanatical creed in terms of killing millions of people. But he says, but why is that really bad? Right? So he's like, yeah, socialism does work to kill lots of people. But so what? Like, why is that a problem? He says, really, the problem is that it doesn't kill enough. And then he talks about the cult of the bomb. He actually has a chapter on the cult of the bomb. Literally what's in Planet of the Apes 2. Not making that up. If you have read this book, you would know. If you think, well, this is just like Planet of the Apes 2. What's going on here? This is crazy. And Russell goes on to say, well, the reason I like the bomb is that it is the potential salvation in terms of depopulation. He says that, right? He says it might not be the best way to do it because we can't necessarily ensure that the elite will survive too, right? Like if we bomb it, blow the planet up, right? That's not going to be the best for us. So what can we do in terms of warfare or strategies to get the population down? Because then he gets to the key chapter, chapters 6 and 7, where it says, we're going to have a world state. We need an international authority. We got to sell it and dress it up in rainbow liberal garb. But how are we going to do that to be effective in terms of radically reducing population? This is where it gets really important and juicy in his book. Because one thing that we got to do is right now begin the re-education process. That's what he says. Re-education process to process and socialize people into accepting this system through education. He says that I don't see this as a future that will be either capitalist or communist. He says back then, I envision some kind of third way system that utilizes elements of both to have this global control structure. But the number one problem, he says, is population. So we're going to engage in a series of techniques to convince everybody that the world must be radically depopulated. He says it's going to take a long time, right? It's going to take decades to get people into this attitude. We're living now in the time that he was talking about 100 years ago. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Okay. We get back. We're going to look at his techniques, how everybody will be killed. Bertrand Russell told us 100 years ago how we're going to kill everybody. He says, let's
extend your life with extend overnight.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
So those books, documentaries, and whatnot have been pretty much game changers for me. And I highly recommend that you go get them, too. You can also get my book at my website, jaysanalysis.com. There's a shop, and you get signed copies of my books. Every copy is a signed copy. Don't get it from Jeff Bezos. He might be trying to forge my signature, but you'll be able to tell it's not me. And that's Jeff's signature, not mine. So get the real authentic signature over at my website, not from Amazon. And we're talking about Bertrand Russell, his view of the sneaky stealth way to get in this scientific dictatorship. How can we sneak this in the back door? Well, he says we're going to have to think about subtle things like food. Food. Yes. Now, he had mentioned earlier GMOs, but he says feeding the planet is something that we can immediately go to. And if we cause a resource war or an intentional shortage, we can give the impression that there's too many people and there's not enough food to go around. If we can hype this up and scare people more and more and more through zillions of dollars of propaganda, through other staged fake resource crises like peak oil. He was talking about peak oil as well as H.G. Wells back in the 30s, 40s, 50s. They said we can convince people that they're using up too much of the dinosaur juice. And there's not enough dinosaur juice to go around, a.k.a. oil, so-called fossil fuels. And he says all we have to do is inculcate guilt. Make people feel guilty for eating and breathing. That's what he says. This is the whole chapter. Guilt. Convince the masses that they're guilty of breathing air and using oil and eating food because there's not enough. How dare you? He says that really this is malthusianism applied to global logistics and global supply chains. He says if you can do this successfully enough to where you can keep causing these shocks to the system. And what did we just hear about shutting things down, pipelines, food supply lines, food shortages? Biden just talked about it. Yeah, there's going to be shortages, man. Come on, man. There's going to be food shortages. Come on, man. Well, that's a strategy, right? It's not a real problem. It's a Fortune 100 corporate engineer plan to intentionally cause and make there be shortages. Sort of a Holodomor type of thing, starve them out, give it the impression that it was caused by evil right-wingers and people who have farms and people that eat meat. They're eating too many resources up, and there's not enough to go around. It's an intentional shortage. It's fake. It's a made-up crisis. It's an engineered crisis. It's a fundamental element of warfare. It's called siege. You hear Alex talk about it. And all this is a siege with a bunch of lies on top of it that people are using up too many resources. It's not true. It's a lie. And Bertrand Russell says, we will use these techniques on purpose to blame people. And when people believe that it's everybody else, the people will turn on each other. It's a really simple thing. So all this system does is cause what you see on the screen there. They cause that on purpose through 2 years of pandemic and then supply chain shortages that are done on purpose by corporate vipers. And then they say, you are having shortages because people wouldn't get vaccines. You are having shortages because people are eating too much meat and using too many resources. It's all lies. And all that does is split the population down the middle to get the zombie horde mad at the other half of the population that is halfway awake. To get them to turn on each other, rip each other apart, and then it moves into the next phase of the lockdown and the collapse. It's a basic warfare strategy. It's not even hard to figure out. And so Russell goes on to say that what can we do to get this through? Now I've already told you that I don't like the jackboot top-down model. We need a nicer model or a stealth model. He says, quote, this is page 102, the inevitable result of the increase of the population is if it is not checked, then we're going to have to resort to Malthusian laws. I do not pretend that birth, this is what page 121 moves on to say, I don't pretend that birth control is the only way to get this done to keep it from increasing. There are other methods which one must suppose opponents of birth control would prefer. War, right? Remember he had talked about the bomb almighty and war. He says, but, you know, war has hitherto been disappointing for bringing down population. But perhaps bacteriological warfare could prove more effective. If a black death could be spread throughout the world once in every generation, survivors could procreate freely without making the world too full. If a black death could be spread throughout the world in every generation, survivors could procreate freely without making the world too full. Did you hear me? Do you hear that? Page 102. Give me 103. If a black death could be spread throughout the world, in every generation, survivors could procreate freely without making the world too full. It's a death cult. He's telling you that right there. That's not out of context. He goes on to say that a lot of people can handle that, but you're high-minded. He says high-minded people could handle this. Then he goes on to say that why does anybody have a problem with this? Infanticide was essential to Plato's Republic, and the Soviet Union was based on Plato's Republic, and they had infanticide. Why does anybody have a problem with abortion and infanticide? He says that if you believe in evolution, you must believe in world government because clearly we're evolving to a world government. What? Really? I don't know how. I thought there's no purpose. There's no telos, but somehow there is a purpose in evolution to guide us to world government, which it doesn't make any sense. But yeah, this whole chapter is about that, right? It's about the end goal. And then there's a final kind of conclusion section about, guess what? Depopulation. He says that industrialization has this effect, which is good, which he says, to bring down population. He says non-industrialized populations, families, for example, they depend upon having a lot of kids to run their farm or whatever, right? So it was kind of necessary. But he says that one of the positive effects of a scientific technocratic society is that when you get automation, you don't need people. You don't need kids. So the more technocracy we have, the more we have a industrialized population, that will be necessarily the case that not only will we not need people, we will have to have less and less people. So he ends the whole thing by saying that the key to a technocratic future is to massively depopulate the world by any of the stealth means, the backdoor means, the slow kill Fabian socialist slow model approach. So that's why the world has been under this gradualism ever since, for example, the fall of the Soviet Union, which, remember, Bertrand Russell said the Soviet Union was a fantastic experiment. David Rockefeller, Mao's government was a fantastic experiment. So from their vantage point, the technocrats, the scientific elite, so-called, these revolutions are mass experiments. What happens if we do a scientific government in Russia? What happens if we force a Maoist revolution in China, which was funded and forced upon the Chinese by the OSS? Did you know that the OSS trained Mao's guerrillas? Did you know that Mao was a Yali, Yale in China? Mao was helped into position by Skull and Bones, on record, public. Yale Magazine, they have public things bragging about this. We helped put Mao in power. We helped change China forever through the Cultural Revolution that the OSS supported. Now you understand why David Rockefeller says, Maoism is great. There's nothing wrong with that. Right? So one of the most wealthy capitalists in the world is a massive proponent of communism. Bertrand Russell, the face of liberal democracy, of socialism, Fabianism, communism, Stalinism, Maoism. Why wouldn't he love those things? Because they get the job done in terms of killing everybody. And he says it's a death cult and we're going to kill everybody. And these are the means that we're going to use. And if you can't hear that, if you can't wake up to that, you will be susceptible to it. That's what Bertrand Russell tells you.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.